Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Ryan is dead.
How you doing, Stegulé?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow. Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Eagles fans held their breath until that final second. Thousands of them then poured into the downtown streets of Philly. Some broke windows, looted stores, and pulled down a light pole. People were climbing on top of the canopy outside the Ritz Hotel and jumping into the crowd. That canopy eventually collapsed with a bunch of people standing on it.
Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Pasta. I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
I don't know why I love that guy so much. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We had the Touch from Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And that was the pasta guy.
Pasta.
Who came in for a worse...
Yeah, the worse than Tom Brady contest. Who lives the anti-Tom Brady lifestyle.
Yeah, and that was the guy who came in and he just said, what do you do? And basically,
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
And that was... pretty much all he had to say.
We left it at that. We just said, all right, man, cool.
That was good enough for me. Yep. Good enough to get my vote.
He looked like Hurley from Lost. He just kind of sat in the corner and stared at us the rest of the time.
Nah, he wasn't doing this. There was another guy doing a lot of staring.
Angry staring. Yeah. There was kind of sedentary staring. That was this guy. He just kind of...
Pasta.
Just content and him being in a corner in a chair.
Yeah.
And there was the other guy who just looked like he was probably thinking bad thoughts about us at times.
Not happy.
Yeah.
All right, so we continue to speculate on the, and this is kind of when things backfire on the Patriots a little bit. It doesn't happen often, but this being shrouded in secrecy is just going to have, it's going to start damaging everyone's reputation.
You know what's funny is I haven't heard a lot of people defending Bill Belichick.
No, none. I've heard none.
Yeah, and it's been weird because... You know, for years, there's been a lot of blind trust and faith, and he's earned a lot of it. I mean, Bill Belichick has earned a lot of benefit of the doubt. But this is the one case, really the one, because you think of some of the decisions he's made that have been controversial over the years, 4th and 2 being one of them. Even the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, there were defenders, people saying that that's the most you could get. And pretty much almost every instance where someone's like, well, I don't think Bill made the best decision, this is the only one... where I haven't heard anyone defend him. And mostly it's because we just have a lack of answers at this point.
Yeah, and that's where I'm getting at with this, the team being shrouded in secrecy. And Ian Rappaport, you've probably seen it by now, had a report yesterday that it was a combination of sickness, not playing well in practice, and a minor infraction. And to that I would say, what could Malcolm Butler in the course of 2 weeks possibly done in practice that would make him play one special team snap in that entire game?
Because it's all BS. Because none of it's true.
Well, I mean, Rappaport heard from some... I mean, I believe that that's what they told him.
Yes.
But there's nothing that you can do if you're... Especially... Okay, let's say... First of all, they dressed him, which takes a lot off the table.
Yeah, he's healthy enough to play if you're dressed.
Yeah, if you're dressed and if he had some infraction... Why is he dressed again? And this is the same guy in Bill Belichick that will keep Bolden on the team, even though he never touches the ball on offense or gets involved in the offense in any way. I think he played one snap in the Super Bowl. But
lining up as a running back on that Jets sweep on 3rd down.
Yes. And so there was, I mean, he keeps him around just for special teams purposes. I mean, this is a guy who values every position on that roster. And to dress a guy for that game and sacrifice a position on that roster, takes a ton of stuff off the table.
Okay, so let's say that it was everything that Ian Rappaport is saying that it is. And maybe Bill Belichick went into the game saying, all right, I think we should maybe not start him, keep him off the field, just for you know, and see how it goes. Or even if you wanted him to stay off the field because you had faith in your secondary without Malcolm Butler, at halftime, you make that change.
You make that change 10 minutes into the game.
Hell yeah, you do. Like, you realize, okay, this isn't working. What my plan was has completely backfired. It's time to put the veteran in there, a guy who obviously can do a better job than Eric Rowe is getting shredded right now. So even if that was you going into it, if you didn't change it, then that's on you once again. And then you're too stubborn to think of the better of the team instead of trying to get whatever message you were trying to put across.
And by the way, you're screwing Malcolm Butler and not saying anything, too. Is that because he's a free agent and now everyone's free to wildly speculate on what his future is? And even
all the bad things he could have done. Right.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, not his future. All the bad things that he could have done. And even if, obviously, these teams do their due diligence and they'll know what he did or what he's going
to
say.
It's damaging, John, up to a point.
But, John, it's damaging to teams' fan bases because and that does stay in the back of the minds of these teams, especially the ones with cap money because they're generally crappy, is that you sign this guy and then the questions come out, you know, what did he do? What's the problem? Why didn't he play in the Super Bowl?
That's part of it. I think that watching Butler play the last 2 months is much more damaging than what may or may not have happened during the Super Bowl week. I mean, he hasn't been good.
He hasn't, whether he
played or didn't play yesterday, he really hasn't been good the last 2 months.
He hasn't been apparent. He hasn't been Eric Rowe. He hasn't been Giuseppe Maciejos.
Who? Who? Wait, who?
Richards, is that what you're saying?
Giuseppe Maciejos?
Matamosi. Yes.
That's like Dragon Mechacopoulos. That's a good one. I like that one.
Giuseppe. He's making the pizza. Yeah. He's the guy in the team. Hey.
That's what it got down to with their
you
quarters.
You mean Jordan Richards? Is that who you're asking
Giuseppe
about?
Giuseppe Maciejos.
Okay.
I mean, they were playing some...
He was Johnson Batamosi? Is that the guy you're talking about?
I'm talking about Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
McCycles.
Yeah. Just imagine him out there with
Giuseppe
the big Mario McCycles. Mustache.
Yeah, he's making puppets.
That's right. It's just Geppetto. What's up? I'm making you Tom Brady. You're real, boy.
That's a good one.
Every time you get down to like the 50th guy in the roster, I'm calling him Giuseppe McCycles.
McCycles.
Yes. John, go ahead.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
So, just a little tip here. I think I heard what might have gone on with Malcolm Butler and why he was benched.
Okay.
So, supposedly, he might have been out a little too late on Friday night partying with the money team.
Mayweather?
Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you bench a guy for the Super Bowl?
I mean, I know. I had heard Rick Ross. He was at a Ross concert. I mean, all these theories.
Well, I mean, yeah, he broke curfew. Okay, punish him. What good does it do to lose the Super Bowl? I mean, you can punish him, sit him out of possession, sit him out a quarter.
I know.
Sit him out of half.
That's the thing.
Rich is right. If you come in at halftime and your defense is getting gashed in the secondary because he's not out there, then it is on you. You should at least put him in. I understand making a statement, making a point, dressing him and embarrassing him and leaving them on the sideline. I mean, one excuse I heard was he was out there. He was break glass in case of emergency only.
If
Rowe had gotten hurt, then you would have put him in. But short of that, he was going to stand there.
Okay, so he didn't commit a crime. We know that. Because if he would have been arrested, we would know.
Correct.
If he was arrested for a crime, I should say. So breaking curfew gets you sacrifice the Super Bowl in order to make a point to your team. What's the point of what is the message? It's not going to resonate. So you've lost the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl is gone. That's the goal. So what? Now next year the team knows not to screw around. So then you can win a Super Bowl?
It's interesting. Bill Belichick has made a lot of decisions and has answered them the same way we did what we thought was best for the team. And he's been excused from all of it because the Patriots win. constantly, and they win big games, and they win. It doesn't matter. You know, we sit Wes Welker out. I actually think they lost that game, so that's not a good example. But for the most part,
the Jets game,
for the most part, Belichick has made these decisions, and it hasn't backfired on him. And if you think about it, it's kind of amazing that any head coach is able to make these decisions and not have it come back to haunt him. And at least on the surface, from what we know, 24, 36 hours out, this one is the one that actually came back to hurt him. It doesn't happen often, but nobody's perfect.
All right, well,
and this
what
is
if,
the one that actually cost him.
What if Malcolm Butler went out Saturday night and got banged up and was wildly hungover? Let's say he was just an absolute mess. And Bill Belichick, in order to protect his reputation, and he knew that he wasn't going to be any good on the field that day because he was banged up. What if, in order to protect his reputation, he isn't saying anything bad about Malcolm?
Okay, that's not true, and I would imagine that
we don't know if that's true, but I'm trying to think of a scenario in which all of this makes
sense.
First
of all, I would guess that there are several players on a weekly basis that show up hungover, especially for a game that's at 6:30. I mean, this is a young athlete.
And it's a late night. It's 6:30, right?
He's a young athlete. I mean, give him an IV.
But this is what it's come to, trying to figure out how this could possibly happen.
There's no amount of hungover that a young guy in that condition who's playing for a professional franchise can't get over. They'll give him an IV all day of Toradol, B12 and saline, and you obviously, believe me, you're not hungover.
Give me line one because
right,
this
I will I, give you line one okay. when we come back.
All right, this is all interesting, all the theories that are out there, and I haven't heard one that makes me justify keeping him off the field for the entire game.
It's TNR 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, continued hunt for what happened to Malcolm Butler.
It is interesting. So the majority of Patriots returned to Foxborough yesterday. And as the postmortem continues, that's still the question everyone's trying to answer. Why the hell was Malcolm Butler benched? Well, we already heard from all that BS from Matt Patricia about not fitting into the packages that they wanted to run. So now it's time to try to get an answer straight from the grim horse's mouth, Bill Belichick, who on his conference call yesterday gave us pretty much exactly the answer that we expected.
I respect Malcolm's competitiveness, and I'm sure that he felt like he could have helped. Sure, the players felt the same way, but in the end, we have to make the decisions that we feel are best for the football team, and that's what we did. That's what I did. That's really all I can say about it.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thumbs up. In a world where everyone seems to eventually talk, and this being one of the biggest sports stories of the year, I was somewhat shocked that we didn't find out more info about what actually happened last week to justify Malcolm's benching, but the little dependable news that we have comes from, as we mentioned before, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, who said that Malcolm's benching was a, quote, perfect storm of issues.
One thing that Patriots coach Bill Belichick, Dan, said this morning is that a lot goes into it. And yes, from what I understand, there are several factors that led Malcolm Butler, one of the team's top defensive players, to not be on the field for the Super Bowl. Among those, he showed up a day later than teammates because he was sick. Remember, he was not at opening night. That was a factor. I'm also told that during practice this week, he really struggled, had a rough week of practice, perhaps because of illness, but maybe because of other things. That was one thing that they had to consider in putting Eric Rowe out there instead of him. That I'm also told there were some other issues, disciplinary issues. There was a small or minor violation of team rules that happened earlier in the week. That is one thing. Then there's some attitudes, frustrations as well. All of this combined and put Malcolm Butler not on the field with his teammates trying to win the Super Bowl, but on the sideline watching.
Okay, once again, still none of those things seem worthy of a game-long benching of a guy who saw more time on the field this season than anyone else on that defense.
How could he done worse? Foles was 6 of 9 against Rowe. Jordan Richards, he was 3 for 3.
Yeah, everyone but Gilmore. Foles lit up.
Against Giuseppe Makatopoulos, he was 1 for 1.
I thought you said McCycles.
Batamosi. I thought it was McCycles. That sounds better, too. Make it McCycles.
We'll just stick with the name and go with
Giuseppe.
It.
Giuseppe McCycles.
Yeah. So, rumor is, as I said, that Butler was at a Rick Ross concert, stayed out a bit late. You know what was interesting? I liked when we talked to Brian Billick this week about curfews and how you handle your players during a week like the Super Bowl. He said that he never had curfews But he also was saying that if you, you know, act like a child, then we're going to treat you like a child. I don't know. Think about all the times that we've heard of players, that star players on a team, not being allowed to play during the Super Bowl. They were like the whole back in the day when guys were missing in Mexico and went on drug binges and things like that. I mean, it was
Eugene Robinson got busted with a prostitute.
Right. These were major things that happened. And if it was as simple as a minor infraction and the fact that he might have not had a good week of practice, and then obviously that's utterly ridiculous.
Right. I mean, it couldn't have been worse than it was.
I mean, he's not coming back. He's not playing for you next year. I mean, disciplining him seems really odd. If Butler's on his way out, you weren't going to give him the contract anyway. You paid another guy, basically showed him up. He was pissed at the beginning of the season. He's certainly not going to return. You're not going to franchise him. What harm is it?
Yeah, well, it sounds
he's on his way out the door.
Belichick, it sounds like that whole thing, remember for years how he treated Brady like crap, so it shows that, no, listen, if Brady gets treated like crap, then we all are, you know, have to listen to what Bill Belichick says. No one is above his rule of law around the Patriots locker room, and maybe he wanted to show up a star player on the biggest stage to Peacock and say that my authority stands no matter what the situation.
Then after the Eagles' first two possessions, you say, well, maybe I should turn my attention to the actual game. This is a rumor that is going around. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Guerrero's giving him a rub down. But the big rumor is that there was a confrontation between Butler and Stephen Belichick, that they live in the same apartment building or condos complex or something, and that there was a conversation between the two. Well, this is what happens.
I'm just saying, this is what happens. He's a coach. You can't physically abuse a coach or talk to a coach or talk back to a coach.
And this is what happens when you are so...
If you don't answer right.
And it's going to come out, so this is what happens, and it starts tarnishing reputations.
Yep.
Because then it's one of these things that... When you're accused of something, and then it turns out not to be true, we say this all the time, you're accused of something, it's on the front page, it turns out to not be true, there's a correction on page 3 of the C-section of the newspaper.
Yeah, the stink stays with you.
Yeah, and so if this comes out, and it's Stephen Belichick's fault, and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, then that sticks around, and if that rumor persists and starts gaining steam, then unfairly to Stephen Belichick, he becomes the guy that was responsible for Malcolm Butler not playing the Super Bowl, i.e. he was the guy that was responsible for the Patriots not winning the Super Bowl. So I don't know the shroud of secrecy that's going on when you know, and if it's, you know, if this reflects poorly on Belichick, so this will get out. I mean, what happened will get out. I mean, Belichick's people, the people around Belichick will say something. Obviously, they can't let this sit forever. And now Patricia's, what did he care?
Yeah, he's out of there.
Yeah, he's out of there. What is he going to do now? He's not going to say anything. If I'm Patricia, I'm not saying anything.
No, of course not. Because, hey, remember what happens when, even after you leave the organization, when you stab Belichick in the back, when you leak, you can't do that. You can become a persona non grata.
Because
when you're
everything comes around, you may leave, but you might be looking for a job at some point.
But what does Patricia care about what happened in the Super Bowl at this point? And Patricia's got he's got to focus on what he's got. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, what's with this Giuseppe crap? Why can't you call the guy his name? Why do you have to try to degrade Italians? You've done it before. I'm sick of listening to it. Why don't you use a Jewish name? You're Jewish. You're prejudiced.
Fred isn't Jewish.
Fred is not Jewish.
And then how is Mekakopoulos? That's Greek.
No, you kept saying Giuseppe. I don't care. Then you would say McDaniels or whatever the hell else name.
So that's Irish.
I don't care the guy's name.
You don't care about... So how is Giuseppe... How is Giuseppe, what did I call him?
McCycles.
How is that anti-Italian?
Because you're associating it with losers and everything, and you're always doing it.
Really? When else?
Every time I listen to you.
Really? So you listen, what, every time Haley's Comet appears?
No, I listen every morning, you jerk.
All right. How do you know someone's ethnicity? Is it their first name or their last name?
You've said it a million times.
McDaniels what did I call him?
McCycles.
McCycles would be an Irish name.
The bad side of Newton. Oh, where the Italians live in Newton. Oh, the nuclear bomb on the bad side of Newton. You didn't say that?
Why did you think Fred was Jewish?
Yeah, why am I Jewish?
Because that's all you say. You live in Newton. You're on the good side of Newton.
Oh, so you just
You're anti-Semitic.
So you're calling out Fred for stereotyping when you just said that all people in Newton are Jewish.
No, you just
said everyone is Jewish.
I said, why do you think I'm Jewish? Fire. And you said that
because you live in Newton.
Because I live on the other side of Newton.
You said the people.
Where are you right now? I got to know where you are right now. What does a man like you do now? Too many times.
I wanted to keep you on, but you swore twice.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. I mean, you got to swear twice. Fred. I had to know what he's doing right now.
Stop making stereotypes. You person who's usually probably a Jew because you live in Newton.
Well.
Giuseppe McCycles. That is a strong
Irish
name. I hate
people who stereotype. Now go to Newton, you Jew.
Hang out with your own kind.
I mean, he's not technically, like, totally wrong. But,
I have a feeling that intent can be graded.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
gracious.
Maybe it's because my wife is Jewish. No Italian in my family, but...
Is Matt Amosi Italian, by the way?
My apologies.
Have you seen the man?
Well, I mean,
I think obviously.
No, but the last name, I don't know. Is that Italian?
It ends in a vowel. It ends in a vowel. So let me tell you, as that is one of the strangest things I've been accused of.
That guy was a firecracker, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Real cracker jack. Well,
the wrong side of Newton, sir, is a joke.
Well, by the way, that gentleman, Johnson Batamosi, he told reporters in the locker room, and he's, by the way, one of the guys who wasn't Malcolm Butler that got torched. He told people in the locker room, I got nothing for you. I don't owe you guys blank. So he was not
And they don't owe
happy.
You anything either in that. The fact that the chances of you being in the NFL next year are very slim. So I would say that the NFL doesn't owe you anything. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm reeling from not knowing what that gentleman's doing right now. I got to know where he was.
Handling heavy equipment.
He was not in a car.
Going to teach a kindergarten class. He's on his way to school.
He's got to get it all out of his system. All right, well.
Imagine being that fired up at 6:25 in the morning.
He'd have a very successful show. If he came in on fire like that, he's like Jim Cramer. But I'm going to go to sleep tonight wondering the mystery of where that guy was, what the lifestyle is. Because that's got to be an amphetamine situation. No. There's no way you're that fired up at 6:30 in the morning. That's got to be amphetamines. Yeah. Well, if he calls back, put him through and tell him not to swear, because that's the problem. Is he back on?
Is he there?
No, he didn't call back in, but the chances of him calling back in and not swearing are pretty low, too.
Yeah, because you get one, and then after the second, it cuts off the phone, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it takes us out of delay. Yeah, right. We had to dump him after that, so.
No, I know. I know you do. All right. We will be back. We will continue to take your calls.
Also, more controversy from Sunday night's game. Boy, they're just picking at everything. This one's kind of interesting, and they're checking the tape on it as well to make sure that there's no shenanigans.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Rich, the Malcolm Butler controversy continues to swirl.
It does. It's weird, and there's another weird controversy that has arisen from Sunday's game, and that was the report that Tom Brady, at the conclusion, headed straight to the locker room and did not shake Nick Foles' hand. At first, it was speculation because there was really no video of the snub since it was understandably chaotic on the field. But then Nick Foles seemed to have confirmed it afterwards.
I didn't get to see Tom. I was looking for Tom. It got pretty crazy really fast. He's one of the greatest of all time. You know, guy does it right. He's been unbelievable. He was unbelievable tonight. Can't say enough about him.
Nick, clear your throat. Just do us all a favor. Please. There's a lot of phlegm up in there. Well, obviously that's not a good look for Tom Brady. How can you not congratulate Foles? I mean, the guy's been locked up in Gruden's basement for the last several years. Gotta feel happy that the guy got some sunlight and fresh water for once. But super sleuths are now saying that there's no video of Tom Brady congratulating Eli Manning on his two Super Bowl wins either.
Oh, that really makes Brady look even better?
Yes.
Well, there's a pattern, so there.
Then I guess it's A-okay. You know, he's wildly competitive. And, of course, there's think pieces that are now out about, well, if Tom Brady doesn't shake the other guy's hand, then he's a fierce competitor. But if Cam Newton was to do that, then he's a sore loser. To that, I actually kind of say, well, I mean, that's a decent point. You know, if you're going to call out one, you got to call out the other. It's yes. obviously not a good look for Tom Brady, but, you know, I guess he's not the GOAT anymore. So that's fun. And with Josh McDaniels still not officially the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, the speculation that Belichick may retire is still lingering out there. So while on the same conference call yesterday, Bill was asked once again whether or not he will be returning next year, and he really, really liked that question.
You will be back coaching next year, is that what you said?
I said I'd address that question.
Would you mind repeating it just so we have it straight?
Yeah, look, I'm going to answer the same question every day. It's ridiculous.
Now go home and get your shine box.
Again,
good for Byron Barnett, fighting a good fight.
But this sounds like an Izzo to me. This sounds like a, I don't know.
Keep asking.
Do you want me back? Because I think, you know, I don't know. Should I? Well, let me hear you.
I mean, it's. And by the way, you can always hear the fear in the reporter's voice when they're asking that question. Just say, well, listen, you know, things can change after a loss like that. Do you still believe that you're going to come back next year? I don't know why everyone is so timid. But listen, even if you lose the Super Bowl, you have a celebration party to go to. You could either have a fun and victorious one where you have Robert Kraft jumping around in his Air Force Ones on stage with Rick Ross, or the weird and depressing ones where you have Matt Light shirtless tasting colors while MAFAO or whatever they're called.
LMFAO.
Yeah. What do they sing? Party rock and oversized novelty sunglasses in the most dated video of all time.
Well, they're still, going strong.
You besmirch Red Foo like that.
Is there a artist or band that got dated quicker than LMFAO? Like where you just went,
Shaggy?
Whoa, that seems old.
Shaggy, maybe?
Well, Shaggy's doing a song with Sting now. Like, I guess they performed at the Grammys together. Like, wow, how did that happen?
Then they'll go with Sting.
All right, well, Sunday nights was, of course, the latter. And here's RKK with the impossible task of trying to get the crowd pumped up after the loss. Do you want to play it off of this guy right here?
All right.
All right, so this is RKK on stage in front of, you know, this is the big Patriots. Big. This is the party. It was supposed to be the celebration party, but you
hot
still book all the
for
talent.
All you bitches.
So let's take a listen to Robert Kraft.
Sliced hot dog.
Yeah.
We love you guys. I'm really sorry we didn't close it out tonight. But we know how lucky we are to. People say it, but we really have the greatest fans in the NFL, and thank you very much. And we're sorry we disappointed you. Believe me, we feel bad. But I'll tell you one thing. We plan this party like we're going to win, and we have great entertainment.
We already won.
The first headliner tonight is J-Lo.
The first headliner.
Yes, there are several headliners.
J-Lo. This is someone who's so important that we've decided to have them go first.
Nice choice. I love that hit of hers that wasn't even really a hit that came out 20 years ago.
Is that...
I'm just Jenny from the block.
Yeah.
Used to have a little, now I got a lot.
Well, she's trying to bring it back. The first headliner. Well, that's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
The first headliner tonight is J-Lo. She has her 20 dancers, and you know, I was just thinking
about hot dogs.
Nice first, hot dog slice.
The first act of the evening is Mr. Sausage.
And you know, I was just thinking, it's a little bit like us tonight. You know, I'm Jenny from the block. Had a little, now I got a lot. Well, most of all, I want to.
Am I missing something there?
Like, used to have a little, now you got a lot. I don't know. Maybe he's talking about like his upbringing, how he came from nothing. See, I thought he was talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, and so
like,
do I.
I don't. I'm. That's kind of a reach.
It's a little bit like us tonight. You know, I'm Jenny from the block. Had a little, now I got a lot. Well, most of all, I want all of you to know we're going to do everything we can do to be competitive next year and go down there to Atlanta and blitz for six.
All right, two things about that. According to the Boston Globe, they wrote this about the party this morning. Quote, at one point, J-Lo paused to summon her boyfriend, Alex Rodriguez, to the stage. Baby, 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 come out here. And he was promptly booed.
Yeah.
A-Rod tried to win them over by declaring Tom Brady, quote, the greatest quarterback of all time, and Belichick the greatest coach in sports history, but it didn't work, and he soon disappeared backstage. Talk about knowing your audience. You know what that was? That was Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod went to a Patriots game, and he was like, you know, we got a big celebration. She's like, well, I'll play. He's like, okay, not even realizing that nobody cares about J-Lo
right
now.
Well, this is Alex Rodriguez's M.O. I mean, he goes for Madonna. I'm telling you, like, he'll go into the clubhouse when he was with the Yankees, and he'll be like, guys, guess who I'm with? Madonna.
And they're like,
what is this, 1985?
It's always somebody that was, like, kind of the thing 15 years beforehand.
Yeah, he's tricked himself. He gets tricked into, get past their prime. Women, yeah. Past and prime celebrities.
Who was? Because he said there were three artists. Who was the rapper that came out? Somebody, Gucci Mane. That's right. They got Gucci Mane. He came out for like 20 minutes. And there is actually a video of Scott Zolak. I think it might have been Mark Bertrand who took it. And Scott Zolak, who's obviously very tall, just has his head above everyone. He's a party of one. Like, he's by himself, not really with anybody, and he's, like, trying to get the crowd all pumped, and no one's really into it. I'll retweet the video. It's Scott Zolak, no matter where he's at, no matter the loss or how the crowd's feeling, he's a one-man party.
Yeah.
The time of his life.
Well, you saw it in person. What concert did you go to?
Oh, that wasn't a one-man party. Everyone wanted to be Zolak's friend at the Def Leppard concert.
Okay.
Like, that was Def Leppard and REO Speedwagon, and he was king of the Xfinity Center. And even people who didn't know who he was, they're like, is he playing for the Patriots? Because they'd heard some people talking. It's like, yeah. And he was telling people that he played for him.
Yeah, and he was like a player of the week twice.
Player of the week twice.
Yeah,
it was two-time
in 1992.
Yeah. That's right. Held that up. Yeah. But it's great. I mean, you know, he's the king of the party. But at this party, like, no one was having anything of it. Even Zolak, even Zopower couldn't win them over.
Which is sad because Gronkowski used to do it when celebrate no matter win or loss, and everyone would give him crap about it.
Yeah, Gronk wasn't there. Brady obviously wasn't there. Amendola wasn't there. The only two people that are reported as being there, that are being reported, was Malcolm Butler was actually there.
Yeah, he's probably psyched.
Just, what?
If they bench me the whole game and we lose, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, it kind of makes your value go up, doesn't it?
Or just screw you. I don't want you to win anymore. Yeah, if you're going to bench me for the Super Bowl, I hope you lose.
So he was,
and I hope that they put up 5,000 points on you.
Yeah, he was there, and Devin McCourty, I guess, was there with his family.
Okay.
And other than that,
he couldn't walk away. J-Lo was playing. We will be right back. 617-779-0985.
Hey, it's Toucher and Rich.
For 10 years, we partnered with the Boston Bruins to raise $1 million for the Boston Bruins Foundation with Cuts for a Cause.
But now we're starting a new tradition.
February 15th at Royale in Boston. It's the first annual Patrice Bergeron and 98.5 The Sports Hub's Pucks and Paddles.
The tournament will feature current Bruins players, patients from Floating Hospital, for children at Tufts Medical Center, and Sports Hub hosts.
You show your skills in doubles ping pong with a celebrity of your choice.
Just place your bids and get your VIP or general admission tickets by going to 98.5thesportshub.com now.
It's Pucks and Paddles with Patrice Bergeron and his teammates.
Presented by Mimecast, Coors Light, and Clear Path.
Also brought to you by Test Trips.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And the Malcolm Butler thing continues.
Mm-hmm.
Answers are not coming out.
We also have a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news out of Foxborough tonight, where there's a crime scene at a home owned by Patriot star Rob Gronkowski. The officers responded to a burglary call on his street.
You're looking at some video from the scene. Our photographer on that scene spotted state and Foxborough police cars outside the home and officers going inside. We also saw officers going into the garage at the home.
Boston 25 News reporter Evan White just got new information from the Foxborough Police Department. He joins us on the phone. Evan?
Yes, I've been speaking with police so far for the last several hours tonight and just confirming in the last 10 minutes, as you said, that a home owned by Patriots star Rob Gronkowski apparently was broken into. Police responding to the area where that home is. It's 618. We saw marked police vehicles there for quite some time until about 11 o'clock tonight, and police obviously inside and outside of that home quite a bit. We spoke with a couple of people that were there, also received a report on this. The report states breaking and entering. We saw Foxborough police and also state police present at the house.
All right, without saying anything, I know we're all thinking the same thing,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Female.
All right.
That's, I'll say it. I mean, this is innocuous enough.
All right.
Female perpetrator.
I think without saying anything, we're all on the same page on this of what we believe may have happened.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now the one thing is, have you seen the video, by the way, that they've been showing of the front of their house? So last night the police came out there, and the video's got the police coming in and out, and then you just see Rob Gronkowski sticking his head out the front door.
Right. I have a still shot of that. It's great.
Right. Just going back.
Huh?
Yeah. It's like, huh? What's happening? Huh?
They found the S&M dungeon.
Possibly. So that happened. Now it hasn't been reported whether or not it was while he was out of town, or whether this happened, you know, during, you know, yesterday. All I know is that the police ended up showing up around 6 p.m. last night.
But you can never let people know you're out of town. You should have kept that a secret.
The police chief apparently is speaking right now. They're
very concerned.
No other homes broken into on the block, obviously.
Okay.
And
can we just take bets onto whether or not when they make arrests, it's the person we think it is? Like, what percent chance do we believe it's that person?
See,
like 5%?
Easy. I was going to say 15.
I was going to like 20.
Yeah.
I was going to go like 20.
Yeah.
I'd say 5%. I mean, there's a lot of people that know him.
That's true.
Again, you can't tell people that you're out of town.
I guess.
Should have kept that more of a secret. By the way, on the phone with us, Rock and Roll Mike. Hello, Rock and Roll Mike.
What's going on? Touch Aaron Rich, Aaron Nick, I'm out.
All right, so Rock and Roll Mike, we asked if you could create, it's a little late now because obviously the Super Bowl's over, but we had asked if you could create a Super Bowl song.
Oh, he sang it for us already.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. It was obviously very memorable. Man. Yeah, it was.
Of course I did that.
All right, do you remember what it
is? I don't remember what I sang, but I did it.
Okay, you don't remember you what you sang.
Yeah,
did
last week you did. So how you feeling after the loss there, the big Super Bowl loss, Rock and Roll?
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, where'd you watch it?
You know, but yeah, I just wanted to call in and say, hey, Rock and Roll loves you all. And I wanted to say, hey, Chachar and Rich, I heard this was, I don't know if it's a rumor, but I heard Ace Frehley was going to be on the next Kiss Cruise.
Oh,
with the band.
I heard there's a chance. I know Gene and Ace are talking. Yeah, Gene and Ace are talking. They just did like an event together. And that is something that, listen, we loved having Ace Frehley. We loved interviewing. It's one of my favorite interviews we've done. So if once again, if any of these guys are in studio, Rock and Roll Mike, we got to try to get you in, all right?
Absolutely. But I got to sing a song for Ace.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on. Let me sing a song.
Go ahead.
Okay. And I got, go on. I went out of space for a little while, and someone gave me a phone. So now you can go on if you don't mind me. Rock and Roll and Andy Roll Mike on Facebook.
Oh, that is such a good plug.
Rock and Roll Mike is on Facebook.
And we're going to work it on out. Yeah, because shock me. Make me feel better. I want to feel your power. 98.5 Sports Hub rules. Rock and roll. I just want to say, hey, guys, I'm glad you get home safe. Rock and roll, Mike.
You're gonna
get me in the studio, man.
Maybe for Valentine's Day. Is your Facebook page have no pictures or anything, any kind of information on it whatsoever?
I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because your name is Mike, and it says Rock and Roll Mike underneath it.
Well, Nick, can you help me out?
All right, Nick,
you can help me.
Do you have a phone now? Can we call you?
I do have a phone. I don't have my phone number, but I will get in touch with you.
You have a phone, but you don't know your phone number?
I don't remember.
Okay, all right. Well, stay on hold for it. We'll see what we can get. All right,
we'll see if we can somehow work that out.
Maybe there could be some sort of Valentine's type of situation we could have and be a part of.
Ace is going to be on the Kiss Cruise. Guess who's going to be
stolen away. Guess who's going to be hanging on the back of the boat?
Imagine being trapped on a boat with that guy. You can't escape.
Hey! It's me!
Ruining your vacation!
Hey! It's me! Underneath your bed! Oh! It appears it's a buffet! Let's get tuberculosis on it! Hey, everyone! I'm out of case of dysentery!
Then again, most people on the KISS cruise, would you even know the difference if any of them caught tuberculosis? Would you really know the difference?
Oh. Hepatitis!
Yes, that's right.
All right. We will continue to explore the issues of today. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.